You're listening to High Vibe Mindset, where entrepreneurs Aaron Smith, a sports physician assistant, and Melissa Smith, an intuitive eating dietitian and mindset coach, dive into all the juicy details of business, relationships, health, science, and spirituality. Now let's dive in. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, but imposter syndrome, limiting beliefs, or not knowing where to start is holding you back, we're going to bust through all of that today. In this episode, you'll learn everything you need to know in starting a podcast, tips on how to get high-profile guests on your show, and how to create a powerfully authentic and aligned show that you love that provides value. So I'm really, really excited. We have a fellow podcaster on today, and I am such a fan of her podcast, Lisa Rantz. She provides an insightful and entertaining and relatable show where she holds nothing back in sharing her thoughts on dating, self-development, astrology, self-love, and the list goes on. The way she shares her personal stories, unfiltered thoughts, and raw emotions always hits a chord with me. So it's super inspiring. It's the type of realness that I am so here for. So we're really excited to bring her on and hear about what sparked her podcasting journey. So share with us, what got you started?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you for that intro. That was awesome. I'm so happy to be here. Yeah. So what got me started? Okay. So I had a blog years ago. Well, when I was in college, one of my professors told me, she was like, Lisa, I really love your writing voice. I feel like you should start a blog. So I was like, okay, sure. And kind of Lisa Rantz came up because I would always just go on these rants or like mostly tangents about things that I was really passionate about. So I kind of converted that into a blog, and I was blogging for a few years. And then I kind of just felt like, you know what? I feel like my voice isn't really coming across through this medium. I really wanted something. I've always enjoyed public speaking and kind of like being in front of a crowd and like talking. And I kind of realized, you know, podcasting would kind of be like a really cool medium to try. So I started my podcast in 2017, where podcasting wasn't really that common. You know, a lot of people were like, wait, what is that? What do you do? Like, is it live? Like, how does it work? And so I kind of had to teach myself how to podcast from scratch. Like, you know, no one was really out there doing it. And I really had to teach myself everything I know now. And I've just been podcasting ever since. And I think it's the perfect medium for me. I love doing it. And I'm just glad I can reach a lot of people.
Awesome. You know, when we have people on here, I like to go back and listen to the first podcast that they ever did. So I listened to your first podcast. And what I really liked is you got on there and you said, you know, I'm new at this. I really don't know what I'm doing. And that brings me so much inspiration, because a lot of people say, I don't know how to do this. And they never take that first step.
So I just knew that I had a lot more to say. It was just something about hearing my voice just kind of like got the message across so much better. And I had a mentor named Molly Ford, actually, and she taught a blogging class that I had gone to, and I had just kept in touch with her. And she had a podcast. And so I kind of was able to ask her some questions, but mostly I just went on YouTube and I kind of just searched like how to start a podcast. What does this look like? And I realized, okay, the process isn't that hard. I'm just going to buy a microphone. I'm going to do it. Like, I thought it was so cool, so interesting. I had just started listening to podcasts at that time. And I don't know, I just felt really inspired and excited about it. I really felt in flow, like this is something I really wanted to do for myself. And I just made it happen.
Wow. Damn, that's inspiring. You know, no excuses. You just, everything's on YouTube, everything's on the internet. And a lot of us have that limiting belief, right? Like, this is going to be so hard. And definitely with podcasts, that's that one belief that goes around, like, it's way too technical, it's way too difficult. And I love that you just kind of busted that for yourself and just went straight for it and realized, like, no, I can do this.
Yeah. Exactly. And it was weird at first because it was such uncharted territory at the time. You know, like I said, end of 2017, you know, people were listening to podcasts, but no one was really starting them unless you had like this huge platform. And so I did have those limiting beliefs. It's like, who am I to kind of start a show? You know, I'm just a normal girl. I don't have a platform or anything, but I just really felt passionate about that. This was something that really spoke to me, and I knew it would kind of bring me a lot of joy. And it's something I love to do. I didn't start it to kind of be famous or make money. I wanted to get my message across to an audience that I knew could relate to what I had to say. And I feel like I've done that.
Totally. Yes. And I feel like you already gave us so much advice and insight just by your lived experience. But if someone was out there and they're kind of, you know, thinking, I want to start a podcast, what are some of those initial things that you would say would help them to just get started?
Yeah. So there's kind of like these six steps that I try to tell everyone that they need to kind of look into first. The first one would definitely be identifying your topic. What would this podcast be about? Who am I speaking to? Who am I trying to reach? Like, who is my demographic? Kind of like niche down, like, what is my brand here? What am I trying to say? What is the story? As well as like, you know, the format. Is it going to be storytelling? Is it going to be interviews? Is it going to be a solo podcast? You know, like, what am I trying to accomplish with this podcast? Definitely the first step. You know, second step, I think, is just obviously getting all the equipment. And nowadays it's a lot easier. When I first started, I was like, okay, I'm going to invest in the nicest microphone. I'm going to invest in all this stuff. But, you know, even if you don't have a lot of money, you can still make a podcast now. There's a lot of good kind of resources. You know, other than that, also just trying to make like an outline for yourself of like, what is every podcast going to consist of? Am I going to have an intro? Am I going to have intro music? Am I going to have a guest every time? You know, how is the episode going to flow? And I think that was the hardest thing for me, is kind of like trying to find my kind of way around how I want my episodes to be, because I do kind of have a broad subject matter. So I just try to, you know, say like, how is every episode going to go? I'm going to kind of start with a rant and then lead with the motivational content and then end it off on a good note. You know, so doing that is really important. Then obviously it comes with the technical stuff of just, you know, finding the right hosting, finding the right editing platforms. And last but not least is just to kind of start recording and just start and put it out there. And I think once you do that, you get your little logo together and just blast it all over the place. You know, you are a podcaster. No one can tell you that you're not. You're doing it. And I think that's the most important thing, to just start.
That's awesome. Yeah, I noticed, you know, some of the things you've said have transitioned. Now, obviously, you have 127 podcast episodes out, so I didn't listen to all of them. But I listened to some of your first ones. I listened to some of your most recent ones. And I noticed that there were some changes, like the intro had changed and other things. Other than the technical aspect, the intro, has your audience changed over the last few years? Have you stuck with what you first started out with, or over time, have you changed your direction?
Yeah. So honestly, I think the demographic has changed only a little bit, because I think my podcast in general is mostly targeted to women who are kind of like trying to navigate adulthood and who they are, self-development, and just being the best version of themselves. But I think that my audience has grown with me, you know, because I started it kind of, you know, fresh out of college, and I was trying to really find my way. And so now, you know, it's not really about becoming an adult, it's about being an adult and kind of finding who you really are. So I definitely think, you know, demographic is pretty much the same. Like, my audience is just growing with me, and I've just been able to attract a wider range of women now.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's nice. I had just saw something this last week that was like, many businesses, they often start with an idea, but then the thing they end up with is completely different than their original idea. They changed as time went on. And it sounds like you've done that as well.
Definitely.
Here's another question I have. When you're first starting out, blog, podcast, YouTube, whatever it is, I know growth can be pretty slow at first. And I've seen a lot of people kind of get discouraged after they put out, you know, some content. They put a lot of time and effort into it, and they don't get a whole lot of feedback from it, a lot of views. Do you have any advice for these people new to podcasting or social media, especially when they don't go viral in the first few weeks?
Are you looking to elevate your client experience to the next level? Whether you're in the wellness, photography, or mental health worlds, imagine the impact of offering your client a truly unique and memorable gift that supports them on a personal level. Introducing the Custom Affirmation Card Decks by Soleia. Our custom affirmation decks are designed to empower and inspire your clients, leaving a lasting impression that strengthens your professional relationship. So picture this. Your own branded affirmation cards, beautifully crafted with imagery that reflects your brand's essence. These card decks serve as more than just a gift. They become a daily reminder of your commitment to your client's well-being and success.
Whether you're a life coach, yoga instructor, therapist, or photographer, your custom card deck supports your clients' personal growth, even when they're not in a session with you. So why settle for generic gifts like candles or pens when you can create something truly transformational and beautiful? With Soleil's custom affirmation cards, you can tailor every aspect to align with your brand identity and the values that you stand for. And this process is easy for you. We do all the heavy lifting from design to ordering. Simply choose your affirmations, select the imagery, and add your logo and branding elements. We'll take care of the rest, delivering a high-quality, personalized product. Join the ranks of leading wellness, photography, and mental health professionals who are elevating their client experience with custom affirmation card decks from Soleil. Visit our website today at soleil.co/custom to learn more and start creating your own unforgettable client gifts. That's soleil.co/custom. And I'll spell it out for you, soulea.co/custom. Together, let's inspire positivity and empower transformation, one affirmation at a time.
Oh yeah, I've been through this so much because, you know, again, I've been doing this for a little over 3 years now. And I went through those kind of roadblocks of feeling like, oh my God, my audience isn't growing fast enough, or my audience has plateaued. Like, what am I doing with this? Why am I doing this? And it always comes back to why you're doing it. And I think also podcasting is a different medium than a lot of other platforms. With YouTube, you kind of have the YouTube algorithm working in your favor. With blogging, you know, there's like SEO, like there's a lot of different things to kind of help push your content. But podcasting is really like, you have to market yourself. You have to put yourself out there. You have to get on other big podcasts to kind of get your brand out there. So I would tell people to kind of not be discouraged, because podcasting, it is honestly a really slow, steady grind if you don't already have a large platform. But I think once you really get that audience, they are so engaged and they kind of become, you know, attached to who you are in your content. And I think that is more valuable than having just like the random sporadic people that come in and out. So really slowly building your audience and kind of having that real concrete, like engaged audience. Even if you have 100 people that are actually engaged and actually want to listen to you every week, instead of just having like, you know, 1,000 that come in and out who barely listen, who aren't invested in you, that's honestly more valuable to me. So I think it's more of just about why you're creating the content and what you want people to get out of it, no matter how large or small the audience is.
I love that. I think it's so important to figure out your why. We all have different definitions of success. And sometimes people just think like big numbers or big audience equals success. But we've also seen people with huge audiences and no one's engaged, and they try to sell something or build some type of community or something, and it's just crickets. And you can have less people and they could be, you know, your fans. And it can just be so fulfilling. It doesn't have to be about making money or selling products or services either. It can just be about finding your people, right? And just having fun doing it. So I think that helps too, is to put in perspective, like measuring your success and looking at things from different perspectives and not just the numbers. And when it does come to numbers, so if we are trying to grow, right, for the group of people that do want to monetize a podcast and they're thinking about the marketing and everything, you've had some really amazing guests on your show. Do you have any tips on how to get high profile guests and how to do like that cross collaboration?
Yeah. So this is honestly probably my biggest tip to growth is, you know, you have to collaborate. You have to work with people. You have to get those large guests with big audiences. That's really what helped me grow a ton. Anyone I have on my podcast is because I genuinely connect to them and their content, and I feel like they will contribute something positive to my platform. I don't suggest just reaching out to any influencer who has a big platform. For me, everything was very strategic. So for example, one of my biggest kind of guests was Serena Kerrigan. And, you know, she's known for having the first Instagram live dating show. And she kind of really blew up during quarantine. And I was someone who was consuming her content and was just completely obsessed with her. So I was able to kind of craft an outreach email that wasn't just like a generic, like, oh, I would love to have you on. It was like, no, like, I am a fan of yours. Like, mm-hmm. I connect to your content. Like, this is why our brands align. This is why you would be so great to talk to my audience. And, you know, she replied and was like, oh, yes, that sounds amazing. Like, I love what you're doing. And even though I have a way smaller platform than she does, she was able to kind of connect to my email and just felt like, oh, this is someone that I want to work with. And so I think that just putting yourself out there, honestly, a lot of times I was actually shocked by some of the people who agreed to be on my podcast, but you just really have to pitch yourself, put yourself out there and just let them know, like, I really connect with you and your brand. And I think this would be a great collaboration. You don't know if unless you ask. And most people, they're willing to do things, you know, people love to be interviewed. So it's really not as difficult as I thought to kind of get those really large guests. And once you do, don't be afraid to ask. You know, I asked Serena, I'm like, can you share our episode on your page? And she did. And, you know, that drew all of her huge audience to my podcast. And that was just so amazing. It really helped me out. So if you can really kind of reach out to those larger influencers who you really connect with and try to get them on your show, most of the time, like, they will say yes. And, you know, just kind of keep going at that. That is kind of like my number one way to growth, honestly.
Yes, that's so cool. I think that is awesome. I love the tips you gave, and the way that you went about it is so smart. And I think that will really help people think about how they can get guests on their show and to think about the type of guests that they want on their show. And then I guess we can just go through a quick rundown, just still thinking about, you know, people who want to start a podcast and more on that vein of, okay, what else do I need? What do I need to write down so I can get started? So what are some of the tools and platforms that you use?
Okay, so this has been a lot of trial and error. So of course, when I first started, I used Audacity. It's like a free editing platform. I had so many issues with Audacity because I couldn't get it to export as an MP3 file, which is usually what you need to kind of upload on hosting platforms. And sometimes it would just crash on me in the middle of editing. And I was like, you know what? I can't do this. So if you're someone who doesn't have a lot of money, Audacity is fine, you know, and there's other platforms like GarageBand and now even Anchor, the hosting platform, you can edit your podcast right in there. But what I've discovered recently, and it was a little bit of an investment, but it's called Hiddenburg. And I'll like send you guys the link if you want it, but it is literally the best editing software for podcasts. Like, I am obsessed with it, and it makes it so much easier. You can export right from there. Like, I don't know. I just love it. It's just been a game changer for me. So that's one I really recommend. And it's not too expensive. I think it's about $99, but they give you a 90-day trial. So I did that first and I recorded a couple episodes and I was like, nope, I need this. So I love that. For microphones, I have the Blue Yeti, which is kind of like the one that everyone kind of starts off with. I think that's like the perfect beginner microphone. You know, I have a headset that I'm using now. I think the brand is MPOW. I like using headsets because you can kind of, like, I just moved into my new home and it's very echoey in here. So I feel like headphones are really good for that type of sound quality. And, you know, there's a lot of different microphones, but I think if you're just starting out, Blue Yeti or a headset would be the perfect ones to use.
Yeah, the technical aspect of it, we had some fun times of our own trying to figure this out. Ours was
all you, not me.
Yeah, me. I think there was one episode we recorded three times before we got it correct.
The first episode was a nightmare. It was more like five times.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and those were like hour long episodes. So by the last time we did it, we were just tired of it. The big problem we had was because we're so close to each other, like there was so much feedback into my mic and her mic that the quality of the audio was just terrible at first. And it took us a while to figure out what we were doing.
I think we also had to like get different microphones and everything, but that's okay. Like if you buy the wrong thing, you can return it. You know, we were really frustrated that first episode. We're like, oh, we have to record again. But it was also a good thing because I feel like we got to a better episode. So, you know, just see everything as growing and learning.
Yeah. I mean, there's been so many episodes that I've completely scrapped, and it is hard to recommend certain things, right? Because everyone's setup is different. You know, like using the Blue Yeti microphone in my new place, it doesn't work because of this. There's so much echo, and that microphone picks up on every little noise around. So I feel like just trying to, it's a lot of trial and error, just figuring out what works for you, you know?
So what are some of your future goals for your podcast? Like, is this more of a fun thing for you that you enjoy doing, or are you trying to reach a specific goal?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, of course, I'm just constantly working on providing the best content, but also growing my audience. But I think that now I've kind of finally gotten like the courage to really expand my brand. So this is something that's in the works. I haven't like announced it or anything, but I basically want to have sort of a community. Basically, we can meet on Zoom and kind of chat, and like I can go on rants about certain subjects and everyone can kind of have input, and it'll be the safe space for people to talk, and really we can all chat about this subject, chat about what we're going through in a really safe environment. You know, I won't, you know, record it or anything, but it's just a place for people. And especially now, I think it's needed. You know, we're kind of still dealing with this pandemic. A lot of people feel lonely and really trapped inside their homes. And I just want to provide that safe space for people who listen to my podcast, really talk about the things that I have to say together, you know, kind of creating that community. So I think that's something that I kind of want to create, and kind of create some kind of membership off of that.
That sounds incredible. That is so needed. That sounds fun. That sounds relaxing. That sounds just like it would fill up your soul and just feel so good. So I think that's an awesome direction you're going. I have to say, like, with your podcast, you speak so transparently about the behind the scenes of your dating experiences, living with skin disease, your own healing and spirituality journey. And I love how you just kind of share with us, you know, like, right now I'm working through this limiting belief, or right now I'm going through this struggle, or I'm learning this. And that's what I love so much about it. So what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned through this podcast and through sharing your story so openly?
Yeah. So I think it can be scary at first to share a lot of stuff on your podcast. And for me, it's funny sometimes because you don't always know who's actually listening. So then when I'll have like coworkers tell me like, oh, I listen to this, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm just like cringing. But I think it's such a great thing that I don't think about that. You know, I really just get on the mic and I just spill everything, because vulnerability is what people are really looking for. Like, that's what they connect to. I think with any of your favorite podcasts, you listen to them because you're somewhat invested in the hosts. You know, you want to know what they're talking about. You want to know their point of view. And again, like adding on to growth, I think that was a huge thing for me too. People just wanted to hear how honest I was about things that are going on, because people find relatability in that. You know, they feel like, oh wow, like I feel the same way. I didn't know anyone else felt that. And of course it's scary, and sometimes I'm like embarrassed. I listen to old episodes and I'm like, ew, like why would I say that? But you know, it's real, and it was stuff that I was really going through. And I just think that that has been the best way for me to help other people who listen to my podcast, is just like, I'm going through the same thing. Nothing that I talk about is nothing that I haven't been through. I'm not just giving blind advice. You know, you guys get to hear my struggle and hear how I'm working through it, or have worked through it. So I think that it's honestly the best way for me to kind of accomplish my mission with my podcast, which is just for people to feel heard and understood, and, you know, kind of encourage them to build their confidence and self-worth in any sector of their life.
That's amazing. Yes. I think you're such a great example of someone who's just so aligned, so self-aware, and just using the platform in the right way, just being authentic, being vulnerable. So
yeah, I really like that. Coming from a medical background, everything that we were taught in school was be professional, you know, don't talk about this. And I hated it. You know, especially people who were trying to learn about my profession, it was hard to get straight answers. What's your salary? Oh, we don't talk about that here. And I'm like, you know, if I'm going to spend years of my life to try to become that, I need to know this important information. And so having that vulnerability, I think is a great thing. And just actually being honest, because so many people put up a facade of like, I'm super professional or whatever. And you can still be professional, but speak the truth. So I really like that you do that and bring that to your podcast.
Hell yes. That's something I have to work on. So I get inspired by you too, right? It's like not just showing up as my real self all the time and not putting up a professional type of mask, because it's like, it's our own thing too. Like, there's no one above us telling us how we should be showing up.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you for saying that. And that's one of the main reasons why I wanted you on my podcast, Melissa, because it was like, you weren't just preaching to people about, you know, intuitive eating. Like, you've been there, you've been on the other side, like, you know what you're talking about, and you're able to share your own experiences so people can feel like, okay, if she could do it, I can do it. So I think that's important. You don't want to just be preaching at people and giving them advice. You know, people want to know that this is something that you've been through as well. And I think that is kind of like really breaking the barrier.
I agree. It's powerful when you see people that are like practicing what they preach, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So what are some of your go-to mindset practices, routines, resources? We always love hearing, like, what are some of those go-tos that you love?
Yeah. So right now I'm really into the Mimi Method. Her name is Mimi Bruchard. She has a podcast as well, but she has an app called the Mimi Method, and she has incredible visualizing meditations. And you're basically visualizing your highest self, your best life. And it really calms me and kind of helps me realize like what I want to do. It helps me be productive every day. It helps me align with like the person I want to be and who I'm growing into. Because like traditional meditation was kind of hard for me. You can't just like quiet your mind. When you're able to actually visualize like what you want in life, what you want to manifest, what you want to work on, that really brings me back every day and kind of keeps me going, you know, and motivates me. So I'm really loving that right now. I try to move every day. I do like, you know, Pilates workouts. Again, Mimi Method has some. I think Melissa Wood Health has some that I do. I really think like when I wake up in the morning, I try to just like get out of bed, do some movement, only about 15, 20 minutes, and meditate. So like that is kind of like that morning routine that I've really established lately, that if I don't get that done, I feel all crazy for the rest of the day. So that really starts me off on a positive note. And something I talk about in my podcast a lot is honestly doing mirror work, because I'm really huge of pushing like self-worth and self-love. So, you know, I talk really transparently of my kind of confidence journey, you know, dealing with a skin disease and just not really being confident in my appearance growing up. So I love doing mirror work and kind of just like standing in the mirror, looking at myself in the morning, kind of like giving myself positive affirmations, telling myself I'm beautiful, telling myself I'm worthy. And it sounds really corny and weird, but it works. Like it works so much. So
it's true because you are. So yes.
Thank you. You too. But yeah, I think it's important to like tell yourself that in the morning, like really look yourself in the eye, you know?
I really like that. It's interesting to see from the different people we've had on the podcast, people I would consider successful or high functioning people. They have a lot of similar routines to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth into what you're doing.
I love it. It's good because we want to share with people, right? How to stay high vibe, because it's okay. It's good to have all those ranges of emotions and everything. But when we want to be high functioning, when we want to achieve different things, we got to get ourselves out of that pit. We got to stay high vibe. So that's part of that. That's why we asked that question too, because, you know, your mindset practices, your routines, like those ways that you're able to stay in that high vibration. We like to hear what different people do. And I resonate with a lot of that. A lot of that is what we do too. So
yeah.
And how can listeners stay connected with you?
Yes. So you can listen to my podcast, Lisa Rand's podcast, everywhere you listen to podcasts. I have an Instagram for my podcast at Lisa Rantz, and my website, lisarantz.com. So, and please stay tuned if you guys are interested in being a part of my kind of, I guess you could call it workshop. I don't have any name for it right now, but I do really want to get that going. I would love, Melissa, for you to come for one of the sessions as well.
And, oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. So stay tuned for that, but that's where you can find me.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We're going to put all of that in the show notes and definitely follow. I highly recommend. I already told you guys, like, I actually listen to her podcast all the time. So Erin's new to it, but I'm such a fan. So can't recommend it enough. So thank you so much for being on.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Melissa and Erin. I really appreciate it. This was so fun. And I'm so happy you guys started this. I'm like, I listened to one of the episodes and I'm just so glad you did this. It's going to be fun.
If you loved this episode, subscribe and stay notified for new episodes every Tuesday. Leave us a review with what you liked or what you want more of. And don't forget, stay high vibe. Do you know these three things are sabotaging your ability to live your high vibe life? First is living in disconnection, which basically means walking around with no awareness of your body, emotions, or values. And second is letting negative self-talk run the show in your brain. That's just gonna make you doubt your potential and stop you from going after your dreams. Finally, it's not having any supportive coping practices or self-care that doesn't take hours or cost tons of money. Because when you're living in chronic stress at home or work, the last thing that feels accessible is a spa day or a meditation retreat.
We have personally struggled with all of these things, and that's why we created the Body Deck. This affirmation card deck has 77 intentionally designed, beautiful cards to help you address all three of these high vibe killers in just a couple minutes a day. These affirmations will help you tune into your body and your inner world, practice positive self-talk, and best of all, it's super portable and affordable. For only $33, benefit from the transformative practice of affirmations anywhere you go.
So if you're ready to stop the self-sabotage and start being the highest version of yourself, you'll definitely want to get your hands on the Body Deck affirmation cards. Head over to Soulea.co. That's Soulea.co to get the Body Deck affirmation cards today. You can also find the link in the show notes.